Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, folks. It's that time. It's time for this All About the Game radio show, and I am your host, Coach A in the Big Chair. Got a little extended version this morning there, folks, of little Michael Jackson and You Rock My World, because I'm here to tell you, last week, or this current week with regards to college football, a lot of folks got their world rocked. I'm still recovering, to be honest with you. But before we even begin this All About the Game radio show, we have to pay homage to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that made this all possible. I mean, today is not the most one of the cherished days we may want to love and have and always brag about, because it's a little cloudy outside, a little foggy, a little rain and stuff coming down. But guess what? It's still a good day. The reason why it's still a good day, because we're still alive. We're still around here. We're still breathing this air in 2015, a brand new year, and this is the first show of 2015 for this All About the Game radio show on January 3rd, 2015. So before we begin, of course, we have to always, of course, it's not a routine. It's not something that we just say we do. It's what we believe on this show. We pay homage to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for giving us this platform and this forum to bring you this wonderful show. Second, we have to give homage to our wonderful producer, Producer D, that makes this show possible and makes it all happen behind the scenes. And third and final and last, but definitely not least, it's the wonderful fans that listen to this All About the Game radio show. Be it if you download the show, if you listen to the show live each Saturday morning at 9 a.m., thank you. Great, wonderful numbers. If not, continue to download us and continue to give us the love that you guys are showing us out there as our wonderful audience. Today, January 3rd, 2015, and this is coming from Tony Dungy's book, Uncommon Life Daily Challenge. And I like to say Uncommon Life Daily Challenge because it's a good thing. It's a great book. It's wonderful. You know, and the thing about this book right here is it kind of puts us on pace. It keeps us motivated. It keeps us moving. The 1 Year Uncommon Life Daily Challenge by Tony Dungy. January 3rd, the best role model who ever lived. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already achieved perfection. I have already reached perfection. But I press on. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. And that's from Philippians 3 and 12. We have a perfect role model. Christ is our example on how to treat other people. Christ is our example on the influence we can and should have on those around us. Christ is the classic and an eternal example of the role model we are called to be. No other role model even comes close to him. A tour through Scripture reveals a Christ who was always finding people where they were and taking them to where they needed to be. He was always seeking people who thought they were nobodies and making them into somebodies. In the verse above, Paul makes it clear that the goal we pursue here on earth and in the hereafter is Jesus himself. He is the example we are to follow, the person we were meant to be like. We won't reach perfection until we see him face to face, but we are called always to be moving in that direction, in his strength toward the goal. In his strength, we press on toward that goal one day at a time. He can make us who we need to be if we focus on him and follow him, and allow him to work through us. The same Christ who went around making somebodies out of nobodies is still at work in our lives. God has a purpose in shaping us to be like Jesus. We became his, we become his influence, his hands, his heart to everyone, for everyone around us. Wherever we find ourselves, we can influence people for his glory. That brings, that begins at home in our families, but it extends to every other area, our friends, coworkers, neighbors, fellow church members, fellow students, teammates, everyone we come in contact with. God doesn't just glorify himself by God doesn't just glorify himself by sending Jesus into this world. If we let him, he glorifies himself by sending Jesus into this world through us. Today, the uncommon key. Today and every day, remember that you are a personal representative of Jesus Christ. Always strive for the perfection of Christ for yourself and for those around you. Now, that's very important. Thank you, Tony Dungy. The Uncommon Life Daily Challenge for today, January 3rd, 2015. Well, you know, we might as well go ahead and get into it. The new order of college football, there has been a shift. And if you don't realize there's been a shift, if you watch New Year's Day, you realize it's been a shift in college football, in major college football. Now that the bowl season has come to a close, changes in college football's overall landscape are becoming very clear. The dominance of the SEC in football is becoming very fleeting, and that's the Southeastern Conference. Talent is being spread all over the nation. What this means is that parity, I dare I say the word parity, may well become a reality for major college football. What we were able to see on New Year's Day 2015 is a preview of, dare I say it, March Madness in college football, especially with what the Ohio State Buckeyes did to the Alabama Crimson Tide in New Orleans in the Sugar Bowl. Well, we'll get into that. We'll get into all of that and much more today on It's All About the Game radio show. So come on in. And you know what I say? Let's get it started in this piece, man. Let's get started up in here. Man, I'm going to tell you, man, the bowl recap I got to give to you was incredible. I mean, who would have thunk it? I mean, on New Year's Day, you had the New Year's Day 6. And this was a prelude, pretty much a prelude to what we were kind of expecting to happen to begin the bowl season. I mean, I never could have forecast what went down in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. Nobody saw that one coming. I mean, the beatdown that TCU put on Ole Miss was unprecedented. And the funny thing that was ironic about this, where this went down, I was able to, it's New Year's Eve, that Wednesday, I was able to come through the city of Atlanta. I was using the public transportation in the city of Atlanta, which is always a good idea, especially down around holiday season and time, because the traffic is just crazy down here in Atlanta. But I was coming through, and I got on a train, and I was coming through downtown, man, and you could just see the looks on these Ole Miss fans, folks that paid their money, came here for this Peach Bowl. Their team had been like ranked number one in the top five all year long, and then to get a serious beat down like they received from TCU, I mean, that was disheartening. I mean, you spend your hard-earned money, you come to Atlanta all the way from Oxford, Mississippi, and you're thinking your team is at least going to represent. They represented all right. They got beat down 42-3 by TCU. And see, TCU had a statement they wanted to make, and they made their statement. You know, they made their statement, but they made their statement, and then the next day somebody like just invalidated that statement. And I'm going to get into that as we talked about the breakdown of these top big major six bowls, as we call them the New Year's Day Six. And that's what happened in the Chick-fil-A Bowl. And the reason why these bowl games are called the New Year's Day Six is because these are the rotating sites that will have the college football championship game. That's why they're called the New Year's Day Six. Then you had the Fiesta Bowl, where Boise State took on Arizona. Now, this was a very competitive game, but Boise State, once again, bag of tricks, did what they needed to do, and they beat Arizona in the Fiesta Bowl. Then Mississippi State, Georgia Tech was the middle game. But Boise State, Arizona was a nightcap. But the Miller game was Georgia Tech and Mississippi State. For all the good that Mississippi, the state of Mississippi did with college football throughout the year, it all came to a crashing, resounding failure on New Year's Eve. Because Ole Miss got stomped, and Georgia Tech just opened up a can of W.A., Whip A., on Mississippi State. I mean, the score is not indicative, there's that wonderful word, of the really, really, really overall outcome in this game. The score says 49-34, but by and large, I mean, Georgia Tech controlled this game throughout the entire time. And so the Georgia Tech won the Orange Bowl. Then we got on into New Year's Day. And, man, when we got on New Year's Day, we were like, oh, okay, you know, things are going to be okay. It's going to be all right. You know, everything's going to mind its way out. If the SEC West was considered the most competitive division throughout the year, guess what? What the SEC showed ourselves, the SEC West showed us, was in the postseason, the two bottom teams won, Arkansas and Texas A&M. But everybody else, it was the top five teams that were above them, that were being bragged about, that they were just so much better than everybody else, so much a class of the league, be it, I'm going to tell them, all of them that failed, LSU, falling to Notre Dame, not good for the SEC West, you know. And Ole Miss falling to TCU, not good for the SEC West. Mississippi State falling in the bowl game, not good for the SEC West. And then we had Big Bad Auburn falling to Wisconsin in the Outback Bowl. Not good for the SEC West. And the final culminating blow for the SEC West was Alabama falling to Ohio State. I'm going to tell you, man, for all the bragging and talking about all how terrible the SEC East was this year, the SEC East went out and represented the postseason where it does count. SEC East, to my last credit, I mean, the SEC East has done their thing. It all got started with South Carolina taking care of business with Miami. And then the next day, you had the mighty Georgia Bulldogs coming in and taking care of their business against Louisville on the 30th. And then you had, you know, everybody overlooked them, the mighty Tennessee Volunteers coming in, taking care of their business and beating Iowa yesterday 45-28. So, therefore, it looks like to me right now the SEC East is undefeated, you know, and the SEC East, the much belly-hued, talk-down-about portion of the SEC conference is the one that's truly represented. You know, the thing that's got to happen is today on Saturday, let's see if Florida can take care of business against East Carolina. And if that's the case, guess which division? I'm sorry. Oh, and I forgot to mention, Missouri took care of their business too. You know, Missouri, you know, the SEC team that played in the SEC championship. Yeah, they took care of their business and won their bowl game 33-17 over a Minnesota team out of the Big East. Not the Big Ten, that was supposed to be very good. So right now, SEC East 4-0. South Carolina winning, Georgia winning, Missouri winning and Tennessee winning 4-0, and if Florida wins today, that'll be 5-0 for the SEC East. Could there be another shift in major college football that we're witnessing right before our eyes in the rise of the SEC East once again? Stay tuned, because I think there is. Really sets up this also nice though is, you know, the run out of bowl games, and I got to get back into New Year's Day. I mentioned Auburn losing to Wisconsin. I mentioned Ohio State losing in the nightcap game in the Sugar Bowl to Alabama losing to Ohio State in the Sugar Bowl, you know, in the nightcap game. But sandwiched in between there were some other great games. Michigan State coming back and beating Baylor. Baylor had used their platform or their game, just like TCU. They were going to make a statement as far as to why they weren't one of the top four teams. Well, guess what, Baylor? You didn't close the deal. Michigan State came back and beat you 42-41. And in the other game, Oregon and Florida State, two evenly matched teams. But the one thing that Florida State showed me that I'm really concerned about with Oregon just was – they were light years ahead of Florida State. The speed of Marcus Mariota, the offense, and then Oregon's also bringing the defense. And, yes, please, everybody, stop calling Oregon soft, because Oregon's no longer a soft team. Oregon's a team that's for real. Now, it's going to be interesting to see how them and Ohio State match up. I'm not going to even call that game because my two picks I picked on New Year's Day out of these games, they both lost. I picked Alabama, who lost, and I also picked Florida State, who lost. Now, the thing is this. Right now what we're seeing, and at Florida State as a team right now, they're at a as you would, if you want to say, call it a tipping point type thing. Florida State's psyche as a team is going someplace where I don't think they've been before. And this was post Bobby Bowden, when they pushed Bowden out. I'm concerned with Florida State because I saw a team that gave up on New Year's Day. And that's very concerning to me, because you're going to probably have Jameis Winston, the quarterback, leaving. You're going to have a few other different things, wrinkles happening within this team. Now, Florida State still recruits well. Even when Florida State was down, Florida State was still recruiting well and had great athletes on the team. But the thing is, it's the mentality of this team. Where is this team headed? Now, Jimbo Fisher, their current coach, not a Bobby Bowden who's been there forever and a day, is this setting the stage for Florida State to be one of those rotating-type jobs? I don't know. We're going to have to stick real close and watch this. Same thing with Alabama. And as I mentioned about the landscape of college football changing, because Alabama, year in and year out, gets the top recruits. I mean, they're always, this will probably be the fourth consecutive year where they'll be called to crown the top recruiting class for all of college football. But what's that saying? That means that Auburn won a championship, Alabama won a championship, Alabama won a championship, then Auburn won a championship with Cam Newton. Alabama came back and won one. But Florida State won last year, and Alabama's not playing for one this year. What it seems to start showing me is this. Even though Alabama is getting all the talent, I mean, Alabama's getting all the talent you can shake a stick at. But what's going on is this, man. What is Alabama doing with that talent, though? Because each year, they should be competing for championships because they out-recruit everybody else. But it's not translating on the field. And what that tells me is this. Regardless of how great of athletes you may have, you still need to do like the New England Patriots and find you some role players. See, Alabama right now is just simply bringing in all five-star players. And if you're a five-star, you've been the biggest fish in your tank all the time. Now, some other people might pick on up what I'm saying, and they're probably going to talk about this. If you're always getting the best athlete, the best player all the time, but he's not getting on the field, that's starting to play something with his mind. So when he does get out there, he's not going to perform at that level of a four or five-star. He may wind up performing at level of a three or four-star or two or three-star, because there's some other people that are ahead of him that he just can't seem to understand why they're ahead of me. Football as a game is 80% mental and only 20% physical, folks. So don't be surprised if you're starting to see a little thing start to deviate from the need and this want for all these all-star recruiting players. You got to have you some role players on teams, man. You got to. Now let's get into other stuff right now, the NFL. I got to touch base with NFL maybe for 5 minutes. And then I got to hit on the NCAA basketball for men for maybe only a couple of minutes, and also NCAA women's basketball. We're going to cover it all today. Now today is Wild Card Saturday, and then tomorrow is Wild Card Sunday. Today you got the Carolina Panthers and the Arizona Cardinals going up against one another in Charlotte. Night game, you got the Ravens and the Steelers going up against one another in Pittsburgh. It's going to be interesting, these two wild card games, man, because I'm here to tell you, man, right, the Ravens and the Steelers do not like each other. The Ravens used to be the Cleveland Browns, I mean, before they moved to Baltimore. So that hate for these two teams goes deep. And I can say hate in the NFL because it's really, you're going to see a hard-hitting game tonight. Then tomorrow you got the Bengals and the Colts on CBS. And then you've got the Lions and the Cowboys closing out tomorrow on Fox Sports on Wild Card Sunday. The NFL is upon us. The league is really giving us a product we want to see. And, hey, welcome to Wild Card Weekend. Now let's go ahead and skip back on over to basketball, men's basketball. Everybody knows Kentucky's a top-ranked team. Can anybody knock Kentucky off? I don't know. I mean, Kentucky appears to be a pro basketball team that's playing major college basketball. I mean, they go deep. They're wide in the deep. I mean, Duke and Virginia are both undefeated this time, you know, and so is Villanova. But, you know, right now, Kentucky is the class team. in all the NCAA basketball. I mean, they're number one, Duke's number two. We're going to see how everything plays out. Right now you got a top five of Kentucky, Duke, Virginia, Wisconsin, Villanova. Those are your top five. In your second five, Louisville, Arizona, Gonzaga, Iowa State, Texas. Then you're finishing up and you're wrapping up with Maryland, Utah, Notre Dame, Kansas, West Virginia, Wichita State, St. John's, Ohio State, Washington, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Baylor, Northern Iowa, Colorado State, and San Diego State. But all these teams are just simply chasing Kentucky. Kentucky's the class of NCAA basketball right now. There's just no way around it. And if anybody can knock them off, it's going to be interesting to see if anybody can knock Kentucky off, because the Kentucky team is just so deep this year. I mean, the way Coach John Calipari has recruited at Kentucky, it's unprecedented. This is no comparison with what the Cats are doing, man. And today, you know, everybody was thinking, man, maybe Louisville knocked them off last week. You know, hey, they got an upcoming game against Ole Miss. Then they play Texas A&M. I mean, then they play Missouri. I mean, then they play Alabama. I mean, it's in the SEC, and the SEC is not the strongest conference when it comes to basketball. So don't be surprised if Kentucky runs the table. I won't be surprised at all, because they're just playing that very good brand of basketball. You got to respect them right now. That's all you can do, man. You got to respect them. You can't hate them. All you can do is respect them, guys, man. Now, when we flip on over to women's basketball, I told y'all I'm going to cover it all. I'm covering that too. Last night, I was able to watch the number one team ranked in the nation. Yep, the South Carolina Gamecocks. Those girls came out there and did their thing. They manhandled Auburn. And that's what you do. But see, with ladies basketball in the SEC, it's a tough sled to haul. I mean, men's basketball may be considered average, but women's basketball in the SEC is considered to be the pinnacle of all NCAA basketball, because the league is so deep from top to bottom. I mean, you're talking about, it's a deep league, man. And the way these ladies have to play, I mean, every 2 days or every 4 days, they pretty much are on the court playing. So what that sets up is right now you see basically in women's basketball in the SEC, you got South Carolina is being the cream of the crop because they're the number one ranked team. Texas A&M is right behind South Carolina and is the second best team in the SEC right now. Tennessee is at the third best team. Ole Miss is also looking real strong, but there's one team, and that's Mississippi State, that's completely undefeated. They even have won more games than South Carolina. They're 16-0, and they beat Georgia yesterday. So right now in the SEC, you've got three teams in conference. Well, I'm sorry, 8 teams in conference play that are undefeated. South Carolina, Texas A&M, Tennessee, Ole Miss, LSU, Kentucky, Mississippi State. I mean, these guys, 2, 4, 6, 7, excuse me, all 7 of these teams are undefeated in league play. Of course, they only played one game, but they're all undefeated. So what that simply means is it's setting up a stage where you got, I mean, the media and everything else is really going to play up to this. South Carolina faces LSU on this coming Sunday, tomorrow, after having just played a game yesterday. But they travel to LSU, and that game's going to be on ESPN2 at 3 o'clock on Sunday. So you get a chance, and the SEC women's basketball is so competitive because, I mean, these ladies literally bring it every night. Now, the thing is to hopefully possibly try to translate that into the men's game. And if the SEC is ever able to get that for their men's basketball, look out, look out, look out, world, look out, nation, because that means the SEC will have truly trumped itself for sure. Because right now you got Kentucky, you got Arkansas, you got LSU, you got Alabama. Decent basketball. But then those, like, every year the SEC kind of like gives you 4 teams that are pretty good out of their conference. You know, Florida was a mainstay, but we see kind of like Florida kind of falling back to the pack right now. And maybe everything is so cyclical. You know, Florida may have dropped out now. So now we got to find out who's really going to be able to challenge Kentucky. You know, I don't know if it's going to – I don't think it can be Arkansas. I don't think it can be LSU. I don't think it can be Alabama. Everybody else, Kentucky's talent is just so far and above everybody else in SEC basketball until it's going to take some time until another team can truly challenge Kentucky. But I'm going to tell you, there's a coach, and I hate to be – I'm not going to say I'm biased, but from what I've seen from South Carolina, the few times I've watched them play, Frank Martin's building a monster over there if he can get his recruits he needs to have in there. Now, he's doing pretty good right now, landing some decent recruits. But if he can ever start to recruit on a level that's close to Kentucky, because Frank Martin's one of those coaches don't need players like that are elite players, because all he needs to do is find people that works within his system, kind of like with Paul Johnson at Georgia Tech. I don't need the most elite athlete. I need the athlete that's going to be able to work within my system. You know, I got to have maybe one or two elite athletes, but I don't have to have them all to be elite, because I need some of them to understand my system. And that's what Frank Martin's got, a system thing going on in Columbia. So we're going to see how that plays out for South Carolina this year with regards to Frank Martin and everything, the coach of South Carolina, to see if they can really put it all together, bring the pieces together, and really be a special team. Because Martin, he's a good coach. You know, some folks may see he's a little off his rocker, especially with his stares and everything. But when you read the guy's story and you think about he talks about how he was a bouncer in Miami at different clubs and everything, you understand the wherewithal this gentleman has and the way he's trying to push his team and where he's trying to get his team to. So you got to respect him for what he's trying to do. And I do respect Coach Martin and everything, for everything he's done and he's doing for South Carolina, because – he is making South Carolina relevant again in basketball, and what more can you ask for at this time than a gentleman to try to make your team back relevant? And that's what he's doing for the university, making them relevant again. So Kentucky, cream of the crop in the SEC, cream of the crop in all of basketball. What else can you say? I mean, there's just no denying that right now. So we got to see how all this plays out. Now, 9 times out of 10, I'm not sure if they'll be able to run the entire table this year, just like South Carolina women in basketball. I'm not sure if they'll be able to run the table and go completely undefeated. There'll be a hiccup along the way. I mean, it's very rare when a team can go wire to wire, be the number one team throughout. Now, if a team can do that and they win it all, they're special, because there's always got to be some type of a wall that everybody hits. And once they hit the wall, that proves whether or not a team can rise back from adversity or they're going to stay down. That brings me back as we close the show out to Florida State. I'm really concerned, because I had not seen, even in all the years of Bobby Bowden coaching Florida State, I'd never seen a Florida State team give up like this team gave up on this past Thursday and New Year's Day out in Pasadena. One, Jameis Winston didn't have his best game. I don't know what was going through his head. Dalvin Cook, incredible freshman running back. I just hope his psyche is straight. This dude had fumbleitis. I mean, it all started to unravel, and this had the chance of being a great game, but Florida State couldn't close the deal. And that's weird to say that Florida State couldn't close the deal, because Florida State's one of those teams that generally always does know how to close the deal. They're not to close the deal on recruiting. They're not to close the deal when they're closing games. But for whatever reason, this past Thursday, they could not close the deal, and it looked real terrible on national TV. You saw a coach pretty much melt down with a player and everything when they were having a discussion and everything. So I don't know. Where does Florida State go from here? I don't know. You know, Jameis Winston's going to be gone, so it's going to have to be breaking in a new quarterback. At least I'm saying he's going to be gone, because what does he need to come back for? What is he going to stay for? Probably not going to be the number one overall pick. That'll probably happen for Marcus Mariota if Marcus Mariota decides to come out. Guy's just a special player, man. I was watching him play at Oregon. I was always like, man, you know, I've seen him a few times. You know, I was like, oh, they won the Heisman. You know, they've been trumping this guy for forever and a day. You know, but dude can play. Like I said, dude can truly play, man. So that sets the stage. Next month, but I guess a few Mondays from now, when it's time for Ohio State and Oregon to play, and we can see if Marcus Mariota can turn another big game like he turned in this past week. It's going to be special to see what happens, because Ohio State's a dangerous team, man. Ohio State's a very dangerous team. If you can go all the way to the championship with your third-string quarterback, that's a special kind of team. So we look forward to see what's going to happen on the 12th. This has been your host, Coach A. It's All About the Game radio show, man. And, hey, come on back and listen to us again next week. Come on, let's get it started again and check us out next Saturday as we bring you another hard-hitting show. Oops, maybe next Friday or sometime. We've got a little change in our schedule, but you'll know about our change starts and everything. Thank you so much for listening today, and have yourself a wonderful day. Thank you.